listening to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new season of Hollywood Boulevard podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Crane. How are you doing, Alfred?
Very well, thank you. It doesn't seem like much time has gone by, but it has since we last recorded together.
Yeah, I think we last recorded in December, if I'm correct.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been... we took 2 months off. I don't know. I don't really like taking that much time off. I get bored. Even though I'm doing 20 other podcasts, I'm still get bored.
20 maybe, other podcasts.
Wow. Pretty much. I mean, Jackie Hall, my former roommate, and I were just chatting about it. And she's like, how many do you do? So I went on, like, I was calculating out loud on the phone to her how many I did. And that didn't, the podcasts were, I think, like 16. And the videos, I think, got up to 10, you know. And I was like, all right, never mind. Yep, I do a lot. So there you go. But we've got my other special guest here. Or not special guest. Fuck, co-host. I don't know why I say that.
I've been downgraded this year. No,
hell no. You are not downgraded. You are a co-host, sir. I'm so used to calling you the special guest because you come on like all my shows, you know? So
yeah. Well, I haven't seen all 20 of them. I mean, I haven't been on all 20, but I've probably been on maybe a third of them, maybe the half, somewhere along the way. And then there's a few of them that I'm on pretty regularly.
Yeah, I need to get you on Maneaters. We're almost done with that series, so I'll get you on that, you know, to do one of those. All right, Joe Turek, how are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Doing great. So I'm doing something different to this year, and I told them they can do it or they could do whatever they want, and it seems like everybody's going to sort of do, you know, whatever they want this year. There's no theme for most of them, but me, I kind of had a theme going that I wanted to do myself, which was SNL stars turned Hollywood stars. So for my three episodes, I wanted to concentrate on that. And I picked, I picked Billy Madison for the first one. And then hopefully we'll be able to do Wayne's World and Tommy Boy later. And I picked Billy Madison because, well, A, if anyone knows me, I'm a huge Adam Sandler fan. Like, Adam Sandler was one of the reasons why I wanted to get into film. You know, him and Kevin Smith. If you could look up my personality, the five people who have influenced me the most, it's Kevin Smith, Kevin Williamson, Quentin Tarantino, Adam Sandler, and who's the fifth? Cameron Crowe. Those five people have influenced me the most as writing, directing, all that stuff. And never seen, I don't think Adam Sandler's ever directed. But this film, now, interestingly enough, I got a little bit of background before we start that I read from Wikipedia. And I thought, oh my God, I didn't even know any of this information. So filming took place from June 26th to August 29th, 1994, in and around Toronto, Canada. Sandler had initially tapped Steven Kessler to direct the film. However, after 2 weeks of production, Universal was unhappy with the footage and had replaced him with Tamara Davis, who was Universal's initial top choice to helm the project. The Madison's mansion exterior was shot at the Parkwood Estate in Oshawa, while the interior was filmed in Casa Loma in Toronto. I'm guessing that's the studio. The entrance to the mansion was filmed at Mary Lake Augustine Monastery in King City. While on the Norm Macdonald live show, Adam Sandler revealed that the role of Jack was intended for Alan Covert. And Sandler wanted Bob Odenkirk for the role of Eric Gordon, but the studio rejected it. Sandler also wanted Philip Seymour Hoffman for the role. Hoffman auditioned and later turned it down. First scene as the bus driver, Farley drank 6 shots of espresso to prepare for the scene.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, that would be like, I talked to, I remember talking to Lachlan Monroe from Dead Man on Campus, and I was chatting with him, and I said, you know, man, you did such a great job in that. And he goes, well, I drank like a whole pot of coffee, you know, right before doing that scene and getting all hyped up. So nowadays it would just be energy shots and stuff that people take, you know. So now, you know, that's what what's his name would do. Chris Farley would probably, I haven't heard many people do stuff like that to get more into the role like that or whatever, get too crazy. But okay, so let's go with Joe. When do you remember sort of the first time you saw this movie?
Yeah, I was, let's see here, that would have been, I didn't see it in the theaters. I saw it on video. I think I was working at Movie Scene when it came out in early or in midnight. It was like 95, the late 95 when it came out on video. But yeah, I saw it. I think we had a screener for it now, to be honest. So just got to see it that way. And I wasn't really sure what to expect because Sandler obviously being on what is it, Remote Control, the TV show on MTV, and then with the Saturday Night Live stuff, it was like, where is this going to go? And it came out the year after was it Ace Ventura. So I mean, it was going into that sort of I don't say slapsticky humor stuff was sort of coming back a little bit. So I wasn't sure, but I saw it then. I saw it a few times around there, and it's been a number of years since I seen it up until yesterday. So seeing it again was kind of good. So that's sort of my story. But yeah, no, not a theater one for the first one for this, but I saw a number of his films after this in the theaters, but this one wasn't in the theater.
I don't think I saw it in the theater either. I think it was too young because it came out in 95 and I was, I think in elementary school or something.
Yeah, it came out on February of 95. February 95. I guess right in time for Valentine's Day, which isn't really necessarily a Valentine's Day movie.
Well, it does have Valentine's Day in it, so that kind of works, I guess.
Well,
there's that scene. So. But yeah, Alfred, how about you? Do you remember when you first saw this movie?
I don't. I mean, I think I saw it like late 90s or something.
Okay. I'm guessing you weren't a Sandman fan.
Not too much.
Okay.
I like some of the later stuff.
Did you see it before or after? Before or after, like his other ones, like Happy Gilmore, Wedding Singer, Bulletproof. Was it before or after all those?
Before.
Before?
No, 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 no. I think maybe been after. I'm not sure. I prefer him in those movies. Yeah, Happy Gilmore was good. I like that one.
Yeah, because this was his first. This was his first starring role. So I mean, I mean, he had a few. Was it Airheads and a couple other things he was in?
Yeah,
Coneheads. Yeah, Coneheads, Mixed Nuts, stuff like that. So
Airheads this was good. No, the one with the Airheads. Is that the one with the Robin? The or they take the hostage studio.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That one I really liked.
Yeah. I'm actually going to probably do that for Hollywood Knockbusters at some point. I was supposed to do it with a friend of mine, but her, she was using her ex-boyfriend's, was it, freaking, HBO Max thing. And HBO Max now has that thing where you can't, like, you have to be like by the person, I guess, or something, you know, or whatever. You have to be in the vicinity of that person. And then, or they won't let you in. And stuff. So she wasn't able to do that.
Well, Airheads got sort of popularity from was it last year when Frasier won Best Actor when he was talking when he was up on stage and said something like in one of the interviews that this and two of the people from Airheads now have Oscars and stuff like that. So
did Steve Buscemi have an Oscar?
I think it's Buscemi because I don't think Sandler has one. Or did he win for? He didn't win for Punch Drunk Love. I don't think.
No.
Or maybe Uncut Gems, but I don't think he won.
I don't think he was nominated. Sadly, I don't know. I don't remember because it's funny. Like I'm surprised he didn't even go up for that that talking spider movie or whatever spaceman that he was up at. For Netflix. Yeah,
but so Airheads sort of got brought back up recently or something like that. But it was between Airheads and what was the other one they were talking about? Encino Man. Back this is Brendan Fraser, so it's not really this about Adam Sandler, but
yeah,
But yeah, so it's interesting, Alfred, you saying that you, yeah, because it's like seeing this one, you could see this before his other ones, and it's like you could definitely see it's an earlier role for him, not just visibly how he looks, but just how the movie flows. It's like he was still finding his way, I think,
Right.
in some ways.
And I'm not a big SNL fan either. So it's a,
Yeah, I get
but
it.
I like that Remote Control. That game show was awesome.
He played he did really good when he came on Remote Control and just those little segments. I mean, I loved that game show back in the day when MTV was really talking about music and stuff like that, you know.
A terrible movie I want to do for Indie Film Cafe at some point, but I don't know if I can get poor Paul to watch it or whatever, is a movie called Going Overboard that Sandler did, where he's like on a cruise ship or whatever, and it's just his wacky shenanigans and everything. And it's funny because I'm also a huge Jim Carrey fan, and both of those guys sort of have this thing, like they started out, very similar of like doing, kind of other movies before they broke out to get their own stuff. So like Jim Carrey did like Once Bitten with small role, like I mean he was in it, he was the main role, but it was like not a big movie. So that was his Going Overboard. Then he was in, all these other little movies before he became Jim
Yeah, I
Carrey.
was thinking like Earth Girls Are Easy, and he had a small role in what, Peggy Sue Got Married, I believe.
Peggy Sue Got
Yeah,
Married, which I just bought, on Blu-ray or DVD.
the pool movie, the Dirty Harry movie,
Yes.
because
Yeah.
he
So,
played this.
yeah. So Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey are very similar, in that sense of like doing that kind
They
of stuff.
both really hit it with, I mean, the same year or so area, because Ace Ventura was the year before this, and
Yep.
Dumb and Dumber was out at the same time as this, so.
Yep. There you go. And so, yeah, they kind of broke out. Like Ace Ventura started Jim Carrey's thing, and then and Billy Madison started, both have names in their titles. I don't know. There's a lot of comparisons, but they're both different actors, right? And they both wanted to break out and do drama, and stuff too, and not just show that that seems to be what Alfred likes is more the drama stuff, like probably Punch Drunk Love and Uncut Gems. Well,
Uncut Gems to me is a brilliant film. I absolutely, I that movie, I still think that that's his he didn't win for that. It's just crazy. I mean, I don't know who won at the time, but I mean, that was just an excellent film.
I got it on
Pure fantastic.
Criterion for 4K and haven't watched it yet. I just it's not that I don't want to, it's just I've heard so many stories about it that I'm like, I think I need to be in a mood, I'm not
Yeah.
looking.
I felt like after I left the theater and Amber and all, we saw it together, and it was just like, it felt like you were on like I'll say a roller coaster, but it was just an adrenaline rush, because it was just nonstop, and it's just like go 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 go. And it was just such a fast paced emotional toll, and I mean that to me that was so well done, and I mean, and he proved there that he can do stuff like that, as well as the comedy, obviously.
All right, well let's get into like this movie and sort of like the I mean the plot is pretty simple, but we'll go through the whole story or whatever and stuff, which I've seen this movie so many freaking times. This is my by far like probably this and Happy Gilmore are tied for my favorite Adam Sandler movies, which so it's funny that like I'm here with Alfred who doesn't like the earlier stuff. And Joe, I think you're like okay with it or whatever,
I'm
but
in the middle. I mean, my favorite of his comedies it's pretty straightforward for me. Well, Wedding Singer to me, just that's in a different league to me.
weirdly enough, I like 50 First Dates a little bit more than Wedding Singer. I don't know why, but it's just I don't know. It's just for some reason I've always been attracted to that movie. But Billy Madison, so in the beginning, Billy Madison is this, 20 something year old, I guess 23 or 24 year old. Wait, maybe 27, because he said 10 years, right? It had been 10 years since he'd been in high school, or whatever, right?
He's a
Something
man
like that.
child.
Yeah, he's a man child. He hasn't really grown up. He's he doesn't have to grow up. He lives with his dad's mansion, you know, like he has his friends staying over all the time. He just gets drunk, and he has no direction for his life. But I guess the plan was always that he was going to run the company when his dad retired, right? And then his dad, you know, his dad's thinking about it and everything, kind of decides that Eric Gordon, played wonderfully by Bradley Whitford. I would have loved to see the Philip Seymour Hoffman version, but I don't know. Like, just feel like that would have been weird back then, because Philip Seymour Hoffman wasn't a star back then yet. You know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if he would have done it, it would have been, so it would have been after My Boyfriend's Back, but before like Twister and all that stuff. So,
yeah, Twister was really the movie that started his career of, like, you know,
that Boogie Nights, yeah.
Yeah, Boogie Nights for sure. And all the P.T. Anderson movies he did after. But anyway, he ended up, we did Boogie Nights, right? You, me and Paul did that for Film Freaks. So anyway, after you know, Eric is found out to be taking over the company, you know, Billy asks, you know, says, you know, I graduated high school, but that was hard. You can trust me on this. And his father tells him the poor, unfortunate news that he had paid his way through high school. And I love the line, you thought you were an honor student? And Adam Sandler's like, you know? And I crack up when I hear that line, because I was like, no, nobody should have thought that Adam Sandler would have been, his character of Billy Madison would have been an honor student, you know?
Yeah. And Darren McCavin playing that role too was, I mean, I guess that's one of his last roles, but that was,
I mean, he was the old man, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the old man Christmas Story, but yeah, he did good with it. I mean, I completely forgot that he was in it when I put it on. I was like, oh, cool.
He's also on Kolchak the Night Stalker.
Yeah, Kolchak the Night Stalker. He's, I mean, he had a career, and it's really, I mean, I love Billy Madison, so like for him to go out on this movie or whatever, be one of his last movies is fine with me, you know. But I can see other people being like, damn, this was his last, one of his last movies. Oh, man. And I'm like, come on. He's Darren McGavin, you know?
Yeah.
He, but, you know, then there's, I mean, the cast, like, the cast is amazing. Norm MacDonald, Chris Farley, Bridget Wilson Sampras, who.
You gotta pause when you say her name and stuff. I'm sorry. That's just, to me, she's, yeah.
The tall guy who is hanging out with Eric or whatever. He's been in a lot of stuff. I think he was actually in Running Scared too. He played the mechanic.
Yeah, his name's Larry Hankin. And
yeah,
interestingly enough, he's going to be in an independent movie called like The Farmhouse Murders.
Oh, wow.
And that's getting made like soon, you know. So like,
he's got to be in his 80s, I would think, or so by
maybe.
Now. It's 30 years. I mean, this movie was almost 30 years ago, so it's...
Yeah, almost. It's not at its... Like, I almost feel like bad that we did it this year. We could have done it for its 30th anniversary, you know? Maybe they'll release a 4K for the 30th anniversary. They seem to be doing a lot of that, like putting out movies on 4K on their anniversaries. And
well,
this...
Well, being that I don't own it, that would be ideal for it. I still can't believe I didn't own this movie. I mean, I thought I had it like some sort of package thing with one or two of his other films, but
I own it and couldn't find it, so I watched it on Stars.
Yeah, same here. Thank you.
Yeah,
you're welcome. I like Norm MacDonald in here. You know, he's really young in this.
Yeah, and he was so funny. Like, you know, I love that scene where he goes, he looks over, and goes, he's like, Billy, this is so fun. Hey, where's Billy? He's like, he's in school, man. Like, oh yeah. Just his delivery is just great.
Yeah. I like those parts. The thing that was a little rough was the first like 10 minutes of the movie. I was just like,
what? I mean, the 10 minutes is like what draws me in. That's like
see, and I don't know, maybe it's just it's just some of the maybe it's just because it's been overdone, but this is the first one. So I guess it's not, I guess it wasn't overdone in the sense that this is the first one to do it of his movies, but it's like, just, the noises and the crap on the doorstep setting it on fire and just the interaction.
The childish stuff, which is what the whole idea is. Like, this guy should not be running a Fortune 500 company. And there's that line in the movie where Eric is saying, you know, do you want the hotel operators to be speaking gibberish? Because that's what he is. He's this guy who, and I mean, he was taunted and everything by this guy. You know, this guy knew that making all those faces and doing all that stuff will make him do the gibberish, which I almost feel like I want to know why, like how this all started, like how, like one day did he start doing the stuff, you know what I mean? Like where did it come from? Where did his gibberish begin? You know, I kind of the prequel. But anyway, we won't need to get that because they'll never make I don't think they'll even make a sequel to this movie. And that kind of is a bummer to me because I love it. Like, it's still one of my favorites, you know?
Well, the only two that, I mean, I guess with him, I mean, he could always do a sequel and stuff like that, but it sounds, from what I was reading, it sounds like, Brigitte Wilson, Sampras, she's retired from acting like 15 years ago. And then she had some major health issues like a year or two ago.
Oh, that sucks.
I was reading that and I was like, ooh. But it seems like she retired from acting with her and her tennis husband, and they sort of raised their family and do their own thing, which is kind of cool. But I know that she did a handful of movies back in that time period. I was just like, that was some, she left some good movies out there for her.
Well, if they ever did a sequel, I bet they would bring her back for it, you know.
If she was willing to.
I bet she would. Now, I mean, like, after this, she went on to be in fucking Mortal Kombat, like, the next, maybe even same year, I think, 95.
Yeah, right. Sonya Blade.
Yeah. So,
and then it was what, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and...
that's right. She was Helen.
House on Haunted Hill.
She was Helen's sister or whatever. She was the... Which she does look like Sarah Michelle Gellar, so like I can see that.
And then a movie that she was in, a smaller role, but I really like is Last Action Hero.
That's right.
She's
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jack Slater's daughter in that.
So there's some good movies there, but unfortunately she's not acting for the viewers anyways, but
fortunately for her, because she's probably happy the life that she has right now,
doing her own thing. But in this movie, I mean, I perfect. I mean, she was perfect for the role.
Are you saying she's so hot? Want to touch the hiney?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you guys a couple of stories real quick that happened to me. So first of all, you know the scene in the high school where he's talking to the girl and he's like, it's a little bit stuffy in here, and she's like, don't talk to me. He's like, why? Because you're a loser. And he's like, no, I will not make out with you.
Oh yeah.
A friend of mine did that in middle school to me, you know, because of this movie. But he didn't say make out. He was like, in the middle of class, I was trying to ask him like for a pencil or something, and he goes, no, I will not have sex with you. And I was like, what the fuck? He, like, I think my mind slipped from thinking about Billy Madison to like, where, what, huh? How do I get at what? Like, how did this happen? And I mean, it was like very, like, no one was talking at that point, maybe, doing whatever. And then that happened. And everybody just, all eyes turned to us. And I was just like, what the fuck? That was one. Second thing is the scene where they're singing that song. And they have the bit part where they go, do you have any more gum? My friends and I were in our 20s and we're videotaping everything. We're doing like jackass shit a lot of times and hanging out, drinking, doing stuff or whatever. We got a whole group of people up onto a set of stairs. Like, I think there was like one, two, three, maybe 10 people on a set of stairs. We waited for this, and then we had a guy videotaping. We waited for the delivery, the pizza delivery guy. And when they opened up the door, we all went, "Do you have any more gum, more gum, more gum?" And they had me be the last person on it, go, "Do you have any more gum?" You know? And the guy looks over, I swear to God, he looks over and goes, "I don't have any gum." And it was the best thing. Man, if we had TikTok back then, that would have been on TikTok. I don't even think YouTube existed when that was around. And I was so sad because I like, that is just a great clip. Just that guy's reaction and everything was just perfect, you know? And it was the funniest little prank we ever did. But it's because of Bill Madison.
Did you ever disclose that it was from a movie, or did the person catch on or anything at the end?
No,
he did.
Well, no, we just said we were just messing with you, sorry, and paid for the pizza, probably gave him a good tip and he walked away. But he was laughing. He thought it was funny. You know, or whatever. But like, he was just shocked, I think, that just the guy's face on it, like, what? And that, so Billy Madison has been a part of my life, whether I liked it or not, you know. I found a hoodie I'm gonna buy this year that says Nib High School 1995, you know, and it's got, you know, it looks, and it, I was just like, I saw it, I was like, it's $40, like, plus shipping probably, so like $50 probably. I'm like, totally worth $50 to have. Nobody will know except like you, me, and maybe a few others who like just know it from the movie or whatever. But nobody, people will be like, "What high school did you go to?" I'm like, "That's, I didn't go to it."
Yeah, they would, nobody know unless there's like a reference. Either people just know the movie, or if it had like a thing on there that says like Happy Madison Productions or something.
And this is not I don't think this is a licensed shirt.
Oh, gotcha.
Just like this, yeah. I don't think this is a licensed shirt. I just bought it, you know, on Teespring.
Oh,
you know, my executive producer, Dick Wolf shirt.
Yep, you know? Law and Order.
Yep. I mean, I like these things. My Stark Industries is not from Marvel. Well, I think it is actually licensed from Marvel. Some are, and I don't think Universal licensed this Joseph Nib High School, you know, shirt or hoodie, but I'm like, I'm buying that. I don't care. You know, it's cool to me because first of all, I love hoodies, you know, and secondly, I love hoodies that have something that like supernatural or like if it's a Sons of Anarchy hoodie or something, you know, like something that I'm a big fan of, you know, or whatever.
See, for me, I'd probably want like a hoodie or something like that said like Shermer High School or something like that.
Right. And I bet they have those. I bet you can find them online and stuff.
Yeah, that's when I'd find, and a lot of, I think more people would catch that one obviously because of the John Hughes, all the Hughes stuff there, but yeah, so it's interesting how I learn something new each time. It's like this conversation here, learning that you're the regard you have Adam Sandler in and in this movie, because it's just to each. I'm glad they did the musical thing in it, because that's what he did. I mean, that's what he was. SNL and stuff like that.
He was also making CDs at that time, I think. You know, like he had these CDs that he was, you know, that some were skits, some were songs, like the Lunch Lady Land song, you know, and the Thanksgiving song, Hanukkah song. That kind of stuff, and
this one came out this was like 3 years before Wedding Singer, so Wedding Singer, he really got to go into his singing and all that.
Happy Gilmore only had one bit where he was singing that song like I wanna kiss you all over and over and again, you know, right? And he did that there, and I love that. Like, I just, I mean, I'm a huge. I wish I had ever gone to his. Like, my friend Lacey is a huge Adam Sandler fan as well, and she got to actually go to his concert. I'm so jealous. Like, to hear him, to see him live on the stage would just drive me crazy. Like, you know.
Yeah, so do you like his, like, because I know he's done a lot of, like, Netflix movies and stuff like that. I haven't seen, I've seen a few of those, but it seems like a lot of his stuff, the stuff I've seen lately haven't been the best, except for, like I said, when he shifted to Uncut Gems. And I have, the murder mystery one with Jennifer Aniston, the first one was okay. I never saw the second one, but
I didn't like the murder mystery one that much. I love him and Just Go With It with Jennifer Aniston. Mm-hmm. The murder mystery one's okay. I haven't seen part two yet. I need to see that. Yeah. My favorite one that he produced that he didn't direct is The Wrong Missy. That is fucking funny.
That was a funny one. But it seems like for him, it's like he had his wheelhouse, and this was the beginning of the wheelhouse for him. The good 5 to 10 years or so in that area, there were a handful of them that were just great.
Well, you know, like this started the whole like working with Alan Covert, Chris Farley, Norm Macdonald. I mean, these are people who just keep Steve Buscemi. You know, mm-hmm. in that one little role. I mean, he had met Steve through Airheads and became friends. So he was probably like, hey, do you want to be in this? I think he was uncredited in the film. I don't think he got credit for that.
But it played with the fact that he brought him in is great. That's one. But two, it's like he was used and it was a bit part, but it was critical to the story. Mm-hmm. So it's like it showed him. It showed Sandler's character maturing to a degree by calling and apologizing and stuff like that. And at first he crossed him off the list. I thought at first, is Buscemi going to try to get him up so he's going to kill him? But then it was just like, no, he owned his past sin, if you will. But then Buscemi showed up at the end. I know it's a little convenient, but at the same time, it's like he protected him at the end.
Well, there was that great line of like, I'm glad I called that guy, you know, which makes me laugh because he never saw the guy in person. So like, how would he remember what he looked like? But in that situation, it was like more like it was nodding to the audience, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Letting the audience remember like, oh, yeah, he called that guy's not just some random person who just showed up, you know?
Yeah. If you try to look at it too critically, like we do with a lot of movies, rightfully so, this is one that you sort of dismiss that. And it's like I know Paul likes his continuity monkey and stuff like that. I'm not saying there was any continuity issues here or not, but it's like you just sort of dismiss like conveniences of story because it's just meant to make you laugh and have a good time.
Yeah. Paul would just hate this movie. I don't know. I've never talked to him about it, but he doesn't seem to be like an Adam Sandler fan like I am because, you know, he viewed this as like a mediocre movie or whatever. And I'm like, if it makes me laugh, you know, like this is a movie I can put on like a bad day, you know, because I know every line of the film and almost every line is quotable, you know, and I know every line and I can just sit there. On a bad day, if it's rainy, if it's if I'm sick, you know, not feeling good, I watch this, and I don't know. I've just always loved this film. My brother watched, you know, would watch it with me sometimes, and the thing I think he always cracks up is the ones that made me laugh, but like didn't make me laugh, like made him laugh, which was the part where the guy's like, "Did you fall asleep or did you pass out?" He goes, shut up. Like that is just, it's great. Like it's funny, but it's quotable, you know, you can quote that to somebody, you know, or whatever. And not many movies do that all the way through.
Yeah. You know? And especially nowadays. And I know that we're looking at things through a different lens now. It's like we can have a nostalgic look, but it just, the movies nowadays aren't as memorable in the sense of, comedy with the one-liners that you just—they're few and far between. And we had this discussion last season. A lot of the '80s films, but it's the '90s is sort of the end of that to a degree of a lot of the one-liner memories and stuff like that. Now it's just an overabundance of product that that a lot of stuff just gets drowned out. Nothing's really that memorable. So it's, but yeah, there are good one-liners in there.
So Alfred, I do want to hear some more of your thoughts, because we hear, like, it seems like Joe and I are bonding over this movie or whatever. You're very silent. So I'm wondering if a lot of that has to do with the fact that either you don't agree with us or you kind of feel a little bit differently.
Before he talks, let me say this. Alfred, are you doing like Farley did in this movie, getting all red, going, getting riled up? No, I don't know. What's your thought, though, Alfred?
Okay. Well, we'll come back to Alfred later.
He has nothing to say that says something itself. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, just big dead air.
A couple other people that was in it that I'm not sure if you know or not, but the lady who played the maid,
yes,
yeah, she was in one of my she was in The Wiz and that old TV show That's My Mama, or That's Mama, and then but she was also in The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. That's where I remember her from. I was like, hey, that's Jewel from Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. But she was in The Wiz. She played Auntie M there. So seeing her was kind of cool, because I mean, she's obviously since passed, but it's like, this is she was a little different than what I've seen her in a lot of other stuff. So
she had to have a little fun, and I like,
yeah, exactly.
Like she got to, she was like, that boy is a fine piece of work, all right. He's a fine piece of ass though too, and I'm like,
yeah.
That lady does not seem like those are words that are come out of her mouth.
Well, yeah, because she said something about taking her top off or something. I was just like, whoa. Like, and then,
you want
and
me
then
to
she
take
made
my shirt off for you?
And then she made the comment to him, and it got him to go to school. She's like, do you want to stay here and shave my underarms? I was like, oh my God.
You can shave my armpits.
I was like, go to school. I guess that, nope. Maybe that's what the parents need to tell Ferris to get him to go, so he wouldn't have stayed home.
Or anybody else. Yeah. Do you want to shave my armpits? Okay. I got to go. You know,
I'm up.
What was the other, like, you don't need, you got a banana. You don't need no snack pack. Give me a snack pack. And then she looks at her and goes, I thought I was your snack pack. He goes, what are you talking about? And it's just, it was so funny because he was still acting like he was a child. And that was like, that's a lot of the point of this film, is like most of the movie took place, where he goes to school. He does every grade. He's supposed to pass every grade in 2 weeks, right? And then he gets a party each time, which was a great line from Eric. He's like, does he have to get a party every time he graduates, And
it just pissed him off even more. Like,
right. It was like a little bit of like, sticking it in there. And so he's just trying, the guy's just trying to figure out a way to stop him and everything with his little weasel laugh. Every time I think of Bradley Whitford, man, I think of him being in the Cabin in the Woods movie and everything now. And I just, I just love that guy. Every time I see him on something, I'm just like, oh my God. Was he on the West Wing? Is that it?
Yeah, West Wing. And I was thinking of movie Get Out.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that and then a TV series, Handmaid's Tale. He's one of the high up commandants and stuff like that. So
such a great actor.
Yeah, and those are more serious things. I mean, he's trying to be serious at some of it, but it's a cartoonish seriousness, because it's like, that he's going to be made fun of, and he's just sort of the bad guy type of, had to play the bad guy, which was fine, because I think he fit that.
He did a really good job playing the bad guy in this, because he was, I don't know, he was just so, he was such a dick, I mean, throughout the whole thing, you kind of, and then at the end, he doesn't even know business ethics, which I thought was hilarious. When I was a kid, I never thought that was hilarious. Like, I just thought that was the ending, like, I didn't think of anything like that. Now as an adult, I look at that and I go, that's funny. He didn't even freaking know. The one thing he should know going into business and being a head of a Fortune 500 company. He couldn't even do that. So, like, you know, he can't make fun of him for not knowing the Industrial Revolution, you know, when he doesn't need that for, you know, for the business stuff. So it was funny. I like that. But yeah, I like also, did you notice that there was a part where it said like he was reading like that there's the names like as if it were Jeopardy or something, and it was like the categories or whatever, and one of them was like flaming dog poo and something or other, and did you see Adam Sandler's like eyes light up at that point, because he's like, yes, I know all about flaming dog poo and annoying.
Yeah, there were some odd categories up on that board. I was just like, ooh. But yeah, and then that was when the principal came in and saved the day, if you will, or
tried to save the day until Steve Buscemi really saved the day. And
yeah, Steve Buscemi really saved the day.
You know, yeah, it was. I feel like in a way they needed more people to jump on that stage to make it really funny, because it would have been even more hilarious if everybody kept trying to stop them and just kept failing. You know, like Chris Farley got up there, is like, oh, and then, you know, Eric like thwarted him still, you know, and all these things. Then eventually the gun just hits him and he was like, oh, you know, I think that would have been a little bit funnier, but maybe too much. I don't know. I just.
Yeah, because at this point, Farley was. I'm trying to think if he had done anything before this, or when Tommy Boy and Black Sheep and all that was. I think that was right about the same time, or maybe. I can't remember if Tommy Boy. I think Tommy Boy was after this, if I'm not mistaken.
Tommy Boy was 90. Was it? It wasn't 96 or 97, because Black Sheep was 97, I believe. Tommy Boy must have been. You know, Tommy Boy the same year. So same year, okay. 95. Wow, just think about that. That's crazy. You know,
well, that's what I was saying earlier. I mean, and you know, when we do these things, I always look to see what, like, how the box office was that week and stuff like that, and seeing some of the stuff in there, and it's some of it matches up with that type of humor. I mean, Dumb and Dumber was in the top five with it, so it debuted at number one. It took Legends of the Fall out at number one, so but yeah, Legends of the Fall was out, Quick and the Dead was out, Boys on the Side, I don't know if you remember that movie or not, with Drew Barrymore and Whoopi Goldberg, and I think Dumb and Dumber was number five. In the Mouth of Madness, good horror film. Murder in the First, and then Jerky Boys. You remember Jerky Boys?
Jerky Boys.
Just goofy, nonsensical humor. But that's the point. It's like Billy Madison, Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, Tommy Boy, Black Sheep. The mid '90s was when that stuff hit.
I remember Jerky Boys because I remember my cousin, who was also a big Adam Sandler fan, and he was a little older than me. And he was, I was in middle school and he was in college, and he at William and Mary. So he came to pick me up and we would go to the movies, right? On Saturdays or so. And we would, he would pick me up and we would go to first or second, I'm not sure, like whatever stop, but we would go by the William and Mary, there was like grass and everything. We could see all the girls bikining outside and everything like that. He just, you know, it was just a nice little like, oh, this is nice to see before, you know, the view before we go to our movie. And then we'd go see, I remember seeing Bulletproof with him. I remember seeing Jerky Boys in the theater with him. So I probably saw Billy Madison with him, maybe. I don't know, because I know I saw Jerky Boys because he would have the Jerky Boys CDs in the car.
Oh yeah,
and we would listen to the, you know, listen up, knucklehead. You know,
might have been cassettes at that point too. So to some people.
Was that
Hey there, Rubberneck? Hey there, Rubberneck.
Yeah, Rubberneck. See, I knew
Jerky,
Alfred would know
Jerky
that.
Boys got the Jerky Boys got Alfred back.
Yeah,
yeah. But looking at the movies, other ones in there. Another Bridget Wilson. She had a small role in it, but Higher Learning was in the top ones then too. So That's another movie. I really enjoy that movie, but that's a different type of a whole seriousness there.
Yeah, no, it's that's John Singleton, I believe.
Yeah. So anyways, movie. Another, but yeah, with her in it.
But to go back to this, to Billy, which might get Alfred off again. But you know, to go back to this, like, you know, a lot of this, the school stuff was fucking awesome, because to see him go through all the most of, like, he does the first grade. He doesn't start kindergarten, by the way. Notice, like, they started him on first grade. I guess first grade's like the one where you start really trying or doing stuff, you know. And I mean, first grade, he had dodgeball, and he had Miss Lippy, and he had, you know, there was some interesting stuff there. Second grade, he only did one thing, which was the spelling bee, right? Then the which he couldn't spell couch until like the end or whatever, like he had C-O-R-U going to the mall later. That's what I'm asking. I said that once to somebody, and they exactly knew what I was saying. So that's awesome. But I love it when people actually can get my references. And then, you know, then third grade obviously was the big one. You know, that was the big time spent in that. And then fourth through eighth grade, I mean, they kind of just zipped through. And then ninth grade was right before he got, you know, outed by the principal for shit that wasn't true and been set up or whatever. And then, you know, and then they don't do the classes anymore. But I still thought this was awesome. Like, you know what this kind of reminded me of a little bit? Back to School.
Yeah.
Like, this was a dumb Back to School. Because, like, if you think about it, right? Like, what's his name goes back to school? Like, they were probably Rodney Dangerfield.
That was probably the pitch. That was probably the pitch. Adam Sandler goes back to school. There's your pitch.
So this is a remake of Back to School, basically, which I never thought about that until just now. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is, because they have a whole contest at the end, like a decathlon type thing, you know, mm-hmm. for him, because he almost gets kicked out again, and he has to do like some kind of thing to show that he, and it's all about a company. Holy shit, this is Adam Sandler's Back to School movie. That's crazy. So that's a good double feature, both of them together, you know. I don't know which one I'd watch first. Probably Billy Madison, if you don't like it, so that you can wash out, you know, wash it off with the good version, I guess.
Well, Back to School, that's one of those high mark comedies for me. Just not high mark, and it's just constant laughs and just bust a gut moments in that movie for me. I mean, Sam Kinison, every scene that he's in is just gold. And then Dangerfield's just brilliant. Just in general.
It's up there with like Caddyshack or I was gonna say Animal House, which I'm not gonna lie, I hated Animal House when I first watched it when I was a kid. I didn't get any of the jokes. I didn't find it funny. There was one, we were watching it, my friend and I were watching on Betamax, and there was like a part where we literally thought this girl had three breasts. But like, and then there's this nude scene in the movie, and we're like, does that chick have like three breasts? We like had to rewind it and everything. And
were you watching on Betamax, or were you watching on like Cinemax and the screen was rolling or something?
It would be more like Betamax on the screen, you know, like Betamax would fuck up sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, because you had to have that tracking thing to get it just right, or else it would widget out of widget. There's Back to School.
Oh man, there were two movies that fucked up every single time at two specific spots. One was Princess Bride, when they're doing the trumpets and everything and going da, 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 da. You know, right? It would mess up. The tracking would mess up at that time. And then Terminator 2, when Arnold Schwarzenegger's flying off the bike and going like that, the tracking would fuck up.
And on your copies of it or something?
Yeah, on the, well, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but we had copied versions of the movies. We did not have original Betamax, like, We didn't buy Betamax stuff. We bought tapes and recorded them, you know,
Yeah,
from,
that's what a lot of people
you know,
did.
yeah, a lot of people did. Even though there's the FBI warning, nobody, you know, nobody cared.
I
And there's
mean,
no FBI warnings anymore, you know.
or you just record it off of like HBO or something like that, off TV or something like that. But I thought you were going to say, at first, I thought you were going to say the tracking was off because the video stores, because people paused and rewound the scenes on certain scenes too much, like the scene of Fast Times Ridgemont High or something. One of those teen scenes that the teenagers would always be rewinding.
Yeah, I mean, or pause. Yeah, they pause it, like, you know, so they
Yeah,
can see those,
exactly.
they see the titties for a little longer. But I don't know. I maybe for that one, I don't know. But I remember, all I remember is us going, wait, does she have three titties? I don't know. But
The challenges that the youth of today would not understand.
I know. And I guess, like, yeah, and I watched it on a Blu-ray years later. I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? But that's because it's like high definition or whatever, you know? There's another one that I always messed up on, that I always thought there was something like that. So there was other movies that did that to me. I don't know.
That's why it's really great to see some of these movies, remastered versions. I don't know if you know this or not. I love the movie Grease, for instance, and I saw that so many times that I could tell you in the scope of the frame everything. But then when they released it in '97, when I worked at the theater, and it got remastered, re-released, and all, and they had it in widescreen and everything. So you saw all the stuff on the outside. So it's like you're almost seeing a new movie when it's remastered, done correctly, and that's where some of these 4Ks and stuff like that can give you at home. Now it's like, and back then it was like the you were happy just to really kind of see the whole film and sort of make out what is going on the film with some of these on
This
beta or whatever.
old man came into movie scene once, and he freaked out on and I was like visiting, I think, one of the guys that worked there, you know. I don't think I was working at the time, but I tried to explain him why widescreen is so important, you know, and stuff. And he was flipping mad, and he was angry, and he was like, because I guess he had a t small television, so like a widescreen television is going to take up most of the screen of of that and stuff. So it pissed him off that, you know, I was arguing with him about it. But the thing was, I think he wanted wanted a refund on that. I'm like, you can't get a refund for like not enjoying your the movie you rented, you know? Like,
Yeah,
that's
well, that's interesting conversations have. I know that my dad and I would always have conversations because he didn't really care for widescreen until he had the big enough TV to really appreciate it. But I was always telling him, I was like, "You're getting more of the movie on less of the screen." I was like, "You're getting more picture on less of the screen," and that's what I always told people at the video store or the theater or whatever. And but
Well,
my dad, he didn't really want to. He didn't. He's like, "No, I want my screen to be full." And that's just a mindset you have because when before the screens we have now are they're commonplace, they were more of a pan and scan versions and stuff like that. So and stuff with that there that's what you're used to. But when you see these films and they're in the correct ratio, it's like, wow. It's just so much nicer.
Well, I had we had an actual sheet at our movie scene that actually showed you what you're missing, you know? And sometimes it was a whole human head, you know, or whatever. Like Harry Potter, there's a black kid that's not in one of the frames because it's pan and scan, and it's, you know, cut up early, you know. Zoomed in, basically. And so you have to explain to people that when you watch a full frame movie, it's zoomed in, not, you know. And I get it. If you have a small TV or whatever, you're gonna want the whole picture to be taken up. Now that we have these big ass TVs, it doesn't matter as much, you know.
And I think I saw some comparisons on like YouTube or something too. To your point, they cut the screen down where you lose some of the characters, but at times they would also split the shot and cut between two shots, and that disrupts the flow of the original vision of the director. So it's like you would see literally instead of them cutting they couldn't cut the screen, cut two people off of it. They would cut, show one person, and then the same, they would cut between them and the other person in the same thing. So it disrupted the flow of the true nature of the record of the film. And that's why I'm glad that nowadays technology has gotten to the point to where that's not a concern. And I know that in the later years, talking with my dad, he loved on the new TVs and stuff like that. He's like, "Oh, this is so much better. I could see it." I picked out a couple of movies that he really liked, and he saw those, and he was like, and we talked about that, and he appreciated it. So,
yeah, Alfred, you didn't work at a video store, did you? Oh God, we might have lost Alfred again.
We've lost him.
No. Okay, was that?
Hello?
Yeah, Alfred, what?
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
Here we go. Yeah, no, I didn't.
You didn't work at a video store? Okay.
No.
Patronized
a lot of them, but didn't know.
No video store, no theater either?
Theater, yeah.
What theater did you work at?
Well, Bob Boy, back then they had... Oh, I didn't work at a theater. I patronized a theater.
Oh. Well, you're also a patron of video stores, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, so you went to movie scenes and, you know, your area, right?
Blockbuster.
Blockbuster, cheater.
I watched them go from, what was it, one? There was one up in near Newmarket North. It was the first big rental store around here. I can't remember what it was called, though.
You know, video stores would be like Arrow's and stuff like that.
Arrow's, yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I worked at Blockbuster more, but then there was some time that I worked at Video Update / Movie Scene.
Video Update, and remember that place?
Yep, and for a brief time, I worked at Video Update, Movie Scene, and the theater. So I was doing like Video Update in the morning and the theater at night. And it was just like, so I was getting like combo of everything. So I was seeing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Only if I had time to do it, because I was working two jobs. That was the only drawback. I was right. So... And that's the days when you had to put the movies together versus digital and stuff like that. So it was a different world then.
To me, it's so much.
You could like rent as many movies as you wanted for like 4 or 5 days, but they started limiting that after 6 months because people were taking too many.
Yeah. And that's when I worked at the video store. The cool thing was, is we had the screening copies, like how I saw Billy Madison. It's like we knew what studios was the best ones for screeners and stuff like that that we could get. And so some of them I was just like always waiting for those boxes, the mailboxes to come in and be like, okay, I can get this. And I don't care about all the other mail. I just care about the screener boxes. Like, what are we getting here?
I remember okay, so I've talked about this on one of my other shows recently. So if you heard this story, oh well. There was The Ring. I had The Ring on screener, and it was a tape, right? It was a VHS. It wasn't a DVD screener of it. And so me and my friends decided to watch it at my friend's house, and we're watching it. And it gets to that point where it says, like, you know, 7 days or whatever, and then you're supposed to get that phone call or whatever. My friend's phone rings. His phone rings, like, right then. And we like looked at each other like, and I was like, did you plan this? And he was like, no, I've never seen this movie before. Like, how would I know? You know? And I was like, I don't know. Did you blah, blah, blah. And we're like, do we answer it? Like, we were thinking of just like putting it to voicemail, you know? And I was actually thinking, what would happen if that chick had put it to voicemail? Would she still be, you know, would it still be saying 7 days to her, you know, or would it stay on the voicemail and then have to wait? I don't know, that's a funny skit, but idea. But anyway, we end up picking it up. My friend picks it up, and it's his uncle. Uh-huh. He happened to be calling at that time. That was just
I did set it up with my brother to do that to Amber.
Nice.
At first she was like, I don't do horror movies to begin with. And I finally do one, and you're going to do something like this to me. And she pretty much caught on afterwards. She's like, at first she was like, huh? And then she's like, wait a second, you're messing with me. So much. She caught on to it, but yeah, she knew. I mean, but at the same time, it was still kind of spooky. The element, it worked to a degree. Yeah.
I mean,
go
ahead.
I was going to switch back to Billy Madison, and I had a question for you about it with Adam Sandler. You said something earlier about the five filmmakers, actors, directors, and stuff like that, writers that impacted you, and four of the five were writers, directors prominently, and Adam Sandler's the one that's not. And that kind of intrigues me, because it's like, what is it about Adam Sandler and his role, maybe not just this one but other ones of his films, that really pull you in?
I don't know. So like, all his movies always made me laugh, just always. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what. The funniest thing is, a lot of people love Waterboy. I'm not a huge Waterboy fan. I think it's
you can do it.
No. You can do it. You know, stuff like that. Some of that stuff was funny. I just felt like it goes a little bit. It's a lot of it's redneck humor and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really into that as much. So I don't find it as funny as some of his other stuff. But I mean, you know, I've been a huge fan. Like, I love the fact that he uses all his friends all the time. Jonathan Loughran is in a lot of his films. Alan Covert, Peter Dante, like, a lot of them, he uses a lot of his friends. In fact, he's made his company, Happy Madison, to let people like David Spade and, all these. And if Chris Farley were around, he would have gave Chris Farley work, you know, because that's just who he is as a person. You know, he lets his friends, yeah. You know, and Kevin Smith is very much like that too. Kevin Smith got a bunch of money and was able to fund his friends' films, you know. And Tarantino didn't do that, but it's fine, you know.
It seems like he still has a few actors that overlap a few of his films and stuff like that. But,
exactly. So I think I always like that. Like, I'm always kind of drawn to filmmakers who, you know, and Kevin Williamson is now directing the next Scream or whatever. He wasn't a director, really. He was primarily a writer, too. But I've, you know, been influenced by him a lot. So, and Cameron Crowe is a writer-director, so. But he's also used a lot of, like, Tom Cruise or, you know, a lot of the same people if he can, you know. But what I like about Adam Sandler is he uses his friends as minor characters. He doesn't make them the star, you know. Like, if he's going to put a star, it's usually going to be him, you know, and everybody else is there. Rob Schneider, and he gives Rob Schneider, you know, work. Like, I think to me that just, I don't know, just always made, you know, I was, every movie that would come out, I'd be like, who's going to be like in this movie, you know?
Rob Schneider is the carrot.
Is that from South Park, I think?
Yes.
Yeah.
14 karat comedy.
And it does make sense.
He's the stapler.
The stapler.
Well, as much as you like his work and stuff like that, now, like I was saying earlier about Uncut Gems, it's a totally different film style. I mean, it's not the comedy and stuff like that. It's just a frantic, just blood-rushing type of movie and stuff like that. But you'll see Adam Sandler in a different light. And it's like, when you see him in this, it's like, wow, how great he can really act, not just as a comedian, but in something with some serious meat to the role.
And I think sometimes people like will just want to, well, I want to see relive Billy Madison again. Let's relive Happy Gilmore again. It's like, no, he probably wants to mature as an artist. You know, he knows he can go back to that stuff for Bank. But I mean, I think he's at the point where he wants to do different things now.
Right. I mean, okay,
like Click was a good drama. I like Click because it was kind of Click and Grown Ups are, you know, got their funny parts, but also there's some serious life lessons in Click. Mm-hmm. He wastes his life.
Well, it actually got really dark and dramatic at the end.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I wasn't expecting it because, like, when I first watched it, I didn't hear anything about it, so I didn't know like it went that route, and I was like, whoa, wait, this just turned into something like that. Because, like, the whole idea is, you know, is people have talked about that idea of, like, I would love a remote control that could control my life, you know, mm-hmm. and everything. And then the whole idea of this movie is you wouldn't want something to control your life. You know, you'd want, at the end of the day, you're going to want to live your life exactly the way you live it and
Right.
not go in the past, not go in the future, not do all these things, not skip. You know, nobody wants to skip. I mean, even if, like, you know, because some people think, man, I want to skip that test that I just had.
Yeah.
But if you skip that, you're skipping part of your life. And
Yeah.
so, like, I get Click. Like, I loved Click. I thought Click was
Yeah. Same here.
amazing, but it was definitely a different. And the funny thing is, if you watch the trailers for Click, you think it's a normal Adam Sandler comedy.
Yeah.
So you see that movie, you're like, oh shit. And there was also that movie Funny People, which wasn't very funny, you know. And that wasn't, like, that's not a, you know, jab at it. It wasn't meant to be funny. It's a drama, you know,
Yeah.
about how hard being the life of being a comic is, and especially being a movie star. And it was so funny because they made that joke about him, like, being a baby or whatever in the movie, like, Adam Sandler's a baby, blah, 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 or whatever, his character's a baby. And, you know, he had to, and everybody kind of makes fun of him being in that baby role. Well, then, like, the next movie he did was Jack and fucking Jill, which was basically the same thing as that baby movie. And I'm like, Adam, you were making fun of this in this movie. You would have thought that you learned your lesson, you know?
That Jack and Jill, that was a movie that it literally took me, it was like a week, week and a half. I put it on every night trying to finish it. So I would, like, start it, and I could only make it like 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes each night. Cause I was just like, that movie really was unfortunately that awful to me.
Yeah, it was rough.
I mean, everybody's got their stinkers.
Was that Alfred?
I just like Dirty Work.
Yeah, but that was Norm Macdonald, all Norm Macdonald.
Yeah, that was his chance to be like the main one.
Yeah. Which
he did for a few things. Like, he had his own TV show, like the Norm.
Like, yeah.
He was, you know, he. I wish that Norm Macdonald had, you know, because I love his comedy. Stand up comedy's some of the funniest things I've ever heard. Like, he said in this one thing that, like, in his one stand up that he hated politics. So whenever people at parties would come up to him and be like, you know, oh man, I hate Republicans, blah 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 blah. You're like, yeah, man, Republicans suck. They're terrible. I hate them. And the next person comes up and goes, I hate Democrats. He's like, yeah, Democrats suck. I hate them. Like, he would do the same thing, and I just thought that was so me. I'm so like that. Like, I don't follow politics. And he said it the exact reason I have, which is, like, if you, there are people who know so much about politics, they're so well read, they know everything. You say something to them, they have a dispute against it, blah blah blah, right? And then there's people like me and Norm, apparently, who don't know enough, and we can't do that, you know. And I'm a non-political person, so I try to be, at least I try not to talk politics to people, because people, you know, feel so passionately about it, and I don't, you know. And I feel passionately about Adam Sandler early movies, you know, more than I do about politics. And
me
so,
too.
Yeah, I do.
I prefer Adam Sandler over early Adam Sandler movies to politics.
You prefer early Adam Sandler movies to politics too? High
yeah,
five, Alfred. Yeah.
Yeah, Little Nicky and definitely not so much.
Wait. Wait, you're gonna get into Little Nicky. That we might be on other ends of the spectrum on that one.
I didn't even know where to put that, so I didn't bring it up.
The only scene in Little Nicky that I really liked was Dan Marino shows up in hell, and he's like I'll give my soul for a Super Bowl and stuff like that. And the Moody,
oh my gosh.
He was a quarterback for the Dolphins who never won a Super Bowl, but he's known as like one of the best quarterbacks ever, one of the best players ever to never win. So it shows in Little Nicky, he shows up in hell, and he's like, I'll give my soul to you for a Super Bowl. And in the devil, it's like, no. And then Marino storms off, and he's like, I'll go win an Emmy broadcasting or something anyways. And then they after he's gone, the devil looks like, shouldn't he know I'm a Jets fan? And I'm like, oh, that's a Dolphins rival. And it's also Adam Sandler, I think, because he's a New York guy. So sort of a little jabs and nuggets in there for me to appreciate. You might not have caught it, but that's what Adam Sandler does, is he has a little nuggets of stuff in there that you might not catch. A lot of people probably didn't catch. I mean, you've seen in the movie enough. In this one, where he kisses Bradley Whitford's character, and he does the Fredo scene, Godfather 2. And well, I was like, oh, great, get that in there and stuff like that. But a lot of people wouldn't catch that just watch goofy comedies or whatever. They wouldn't know that scene. But I mean, that is one of the seminal scenes, the movie. But
wasn't Dan Marino? I was also in Ace Ventura, you know, or whatever.
Well, yeah, he was a main character in that. He was the one who got kidnapped.
Yeah, he's got kidnapped and. And then the laces out that
that. Ray Finkel. And I'm considering doing that for one of my in the future. So
because
my love with the Dolphins, and I also like Jim Carrey. So maybe not to the extent that you have Sandler up there for you, but I mean I really appreciate Carrey's humor.
If I can, I'll get Jackie for that one, because I know Jackie's a big Jim Carrey fan, and I don't know if she's seen this movie like in a while, you know, or whatever, but Ace Ventura, I don't know. I was watching on television, like on streaming somewhere, one of the platforms at one point, and while I was eating dinner, and I was like, this is just still one of the funniest movies. And, you know, so there's Ace Ventura, there's Billy Madison, you know, all these movies, Tommy Boy, we just said, you know, all these movies around the same time.
Yep.
That when I was in middle school just made me laugh so hard, you know. These were some of my favorite films growing up, you know. Now to go back to Billy, you know, because we do go off on little tangents and talk about other movies and other stuff, but
just a little redirect, just a little bit.
But they're all similar. Like, it's fine. You know, it's not a big rabbit hole that we go down. But in Billy Madison, you know, there was I don't know. So I, once again, the third grade was the biggest one, right? The third grade was the biggest stuff. So
yeah, because they bring Bridget into it and stuff.
Bridget in it. There's a little bit of he kind of grows on her. You know, she likes him. I fucking love the cursive scene where she's like in the baseball. She like dug out, then bunt, and then Rizzuto and. He does R's, and she looks like, those look like R's to me, or Rurudo, you know?
Because he couldn't do it, because he couldn't draw a Z, write out a Z, I guess.
I don't even know if I could do a Z. I never liked cursive, except for my writing my own name.
Well, I don't think they even teach that nowadays, so it's like in school, so it's...
Yeah, I think I've heard recently that they got rid of it, because...
Yeah, so it's like, how do people sign their names?
I don't know. Maybe they're still taught by their parents, hopefully, how to do it. Like, that's what I would do as a parent. I would say, look, at least sign, like, let's teach you how to sign your name. You know?
But in the movie here, the third grade scene, to your point, I think it's the major carrying point in the script. I mean, it's just that's where obviously the introduction. Well, she was introduced a few scenes before, but to where she's really brought into it, and it starts to show his evolving, and it's just that he's not just gonna that he's gonna become someone with half a brain, or half his wits about him. But even after all this is said and done, and it's like he's doing all this stuff to basically graduate and keep the company, he ends up giving it away. That's sort of the ultimate smack in the face of Whitford's character. So. I thought that was kind of funny at the end, the payoff. And this movie's done in less than an hour and a half, so it's like it doesn't overstay its welcome, sort of thing. It's sort of it's very tight, and it's not stretched out like a lot of stuff is nowadays, unfortunately. Yep. I mean, there's reasons to have movies 1 hour 45, 2 hours long, stuff like that. This is not one of them.
Yeah,
see, I did love Pixels. Is probably my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
Pixels was good.
My dog just walked in, by the way. Come here, Rocky. You want to come say hello? You don't say hello
Alfred,
on this show.
Alfred, have you seen Uncut Gems yet?
No, I haven't.
Watch it. Watch it. It's to me, it's his best film overall. It's his best acting, but it's kind of hard to compare drama and comedy. I mean, to if you're one, because his forte is comedy, if you will. But that movie is that might be something we might be able to do on a future podcast somewhere along the way.
Sure.
Rocky says hello.
Hi, Rocky.
Alfred, have you met Rocky yet?
I don't think I have.
Joe, have you met Rocky yet? Like, physically?
No. I'm not sure if I have.
I think
or
you
not.
Have. I know you met. You both have met Lady, because Lady who passed away. But Rocky is not like Lady. Lady liked to go to the studio and be with everybody and sit in everybody's lap. You know, Rocky doesn't like doesn't like driving to the studio. Doesn't like all this stuff. He's a homebody. You know, he likes to stay at home and do that.
He just wants to stay in his mansion. So, I mean,
I know.
But see, to him, the size of your house is sort of the mansion. To him, what Madison's Probably. House is to them. Yeah. So it's like
that works. You know, and all he does is drink daiquiris and watch. You know, play Nintendo and you know, look at jackoff magazines. You know, because that's what the father said. I was like, I've never heard Darren McGavin say jack-off magazines until that movie. And I don't even know if Darren McGavin ever said jack-off magazines until that movie. And
I wonder if he had to get some understanding of what some of that... Well, I mean, he was well-versed in, I mean, all around.
Yeah, he was probably a smart person. Like, he knew what he was saying or doing.
Yeah, because wasn't he in that one movie that we watched, that we did for, was it Criterion or one of those?
Which one?
Was he in Failsafe? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. Yeah, it must have been somebody else I'm thinking of. He was in something else that we watched, obviously, other than the Christmas Story. I know we did that one, but...
We did that one for Film Freaks. Darren McGavin did a great job. Everybody was wonderful. There was nobody in the movie that didn't give it their all for the comedy, you know? O'Doyle rules! We forgot to mention that, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I love that part where he's like, "Oh, Doyle, I think your whole family is going to go down. But for now, I got to study." You know, because he put the horse manure into the locker. Like, so it was nice. It was nice. I almost felt like we all went back to school, you know, watching this movie and everything. So it was really cool. By the way, he had a song that said back to school. So I think they knew that this was a back to school movie, you know, because he had a whole song where he goes back to school to prove to dad that I'm not a fool. So it was like, instead of the father going back to school, that was it. They were like, let's just switch it around and have it be the son that goes back to school. 'Cause Keith Gordon was the son in Back to School, I think.
It was Keith Gordon, and then his buddy was Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
And you know, wasn't William Zabka in that movie too? Oh man, we gotta do that.
He was the bad guy, if you will.
Oh gee, William Zabka playing a bad guy.
Yeah, right after Karate Kid. In between, there was two really bad guys, if you will, because there was also the other professor, Professor Phillip, Bombay, I think his name was. God, I see that movie so many times. That's what I can quote right back to school.
See, if we don't do it this season, if you guys don't, and if neither of you guys pick it at some point, we'll.
That's right, Dean Martin.
What?
That's right, Dean Martin.
if you guys don't pick it next this season, I'll pick it for next season. We'll do it eventually.
That's one that I might that might be a little preview of later this season. I think we might need to fit this one, that one in. That'd be a nice bookend with this one, because we talk the back to school mentality and stuff like that.
It would be cool. Like, I mean, I'm not telling you how to do your thing.
Yeah,
you pick your thing. But what it would be cool is if you picked it for, like, you know, the last episode of the season. The first episode of the season is, you know, is Billy Madison, and then last is back to school. That might actually be pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'll be the third one up on the third go around. So
we'll definitely do that. But so that's it. I think, I mean, there's really not much else to discuss. I mean, if you haven't seen Billy Madison, I don't know what's wrong with you. Go watch it right now. But if you have seen it, let us know. Or if you have seen it, let us know what you guys think. What's your guys' thoughts? Do you guys like Billy Madison? Is this one of your guys' favorite movies? Like me, it's one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies of all
Yeah,
time, probably.
and the critics seem to have ripped it. I mean, I was looking at some of their reviews, and it was like, I mean, I guess it goes into some of the, I won't say the toilet bowl humor, but I mean, there is some elements of that that critics can't give good graces to. So.
Right, because like if some I hate to say it, but most of the critics that are reviewing these type of movies, they're all sort of liking they want like Oscar stuff to watch. They don't want to watch this. This is not gonna win. It's not gonna go anywhere near the Oscars. You know, this might go up for Razzies, you know, that's about it, but not Oscars. So this is not that kind of movie.
Always says, you know, certain movies, if you want to see Adam Sandler, you get an Adam Sandler movie. Hey, if you want to watch The Man with One Brown Shoe, you watch that.
Yeah. There you go. All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Thank you, Alfred. Thank you, Joe. This has been a lot of fun. We will be back next month where we'll have Alfred's pick. Do you want to announce what you picked, or do you want
Megaforce with Barry Bostwick and
Yes.
Persis Kambada.
Yeah.
And yeah, and a few other casts of people that you may recognize.
There you go. So we'll be back next month with Megaforce, which I'm excited about because I've never seen it. So can't
Neither have I. So it's, or
yeah.
I don't remember seeing it, but we'll see.
Remember,
Yeah.
good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Well, there you go. So we'll be back with that episode, and I bet Alfred will have a lot more to say on that one.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, this wasn't this the these ones that I'm doing right now aren't his cup of tea, but
Now, your next two I like.
Yeah, okay. You like Wayne's World and you like
Yes.
Tommy
Well,
Boy? Yeah.
it's funny that you mentioned those ones, and to me, there's well, Wayne's World's obviously the best, but there's I like Night at the Roxbury, but I mean, I guess
Night
you
at
only have to you have to
Roxbury's.
pick three. Yeah, you have to pick three. So
Well,
whatever
and
three.
I picked ones that weren't SNL produced. Like, I think Night at the Roxbury was a skit from SNL. I didn't
Yeah.
want that. I wanted it to be the movies that pretty much jump started these guys' real like Hollywood careers. And
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World was SNL, but it's also the movie that that jump started his career,
Yeah,
you
and
know.
we'll get into that obviously then. So,
Yeah, I mean I could
but
have picked So I Married an Axe Murderer, but Wayne's World was his first movie, you know, pretty Hollywood movie that
yeah.
he was in and everything. And I've
Cool.
done So I Married an Axe Murderer for Hollywood Knockbusters already, so it may be a while before we tackled that one. You know, it's one of
There
my
you go.
favorites. Anyway, Wayne's World is beautiful. So I can't wait to do that. And Megaforce, I can't wait because A, I haven't seen it, and B, for some reason I kept thinking Chuck Norris. So I'm
That
excited to
was,
see Barry
of course.
Bostwick. Yeah. Was he also in Stone Cold? Wasn't that Barry Bostwick?
Barry Bostwick was in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Are you talking about
Stone Cold with the football player,
Yeah. Was it
Brian
Brian
Bosworth?
Bosworth? Okay. Brian
Yeah,
Bosworth, Barry
he may have been
Bostwick. I don't
in
know.
the movie once.
I get everybody confused. All right, we're gonna
Yeah.
I'm gonna I'm gonna end this so I don't say anything else that's wrong. So thank you guys so much for joining us, and join us next month for a brand new episode. Until then,
Sounds good.
everybody, Rocky says bye
Bye.
bye.
Oh,
bye.
bye.
Bye. Let's see. Where stopper.
You're listening to the Hollywood Boulevard Podcast.